Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Trinity Sunday, it is tempting for a preacher to try and explain the doctrine of the Trinity, to exposit the Athanasian Creed and lay out for you what it means to worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. But therein lies the problem. If the Athanasian Creed seems somewhat vague, confusing, and unsatisfactory, it is because the Athanasian Creed was never developed to clarify and explain the doctrine of the Trinity, but rather was drafted to guard this mystery of the faith against the assaults of human reason. People have sought to unravel this mystery through the ages, to comprehend and explain the very nature of God as three persons in one, the divine relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In doing so, each and every time they go beyond God's own self-revelation, even to the point of departing from the church and ending up in outright heresy. Yes, heresy. Heresy is not some archaic concept that died off in the ancient or medieval church. Heresy is alive and thriving even in our world today, though usually it is some form of recycled and repackaged ancient heresy. Heresy that asserts that the Father, Son, and Spirit are just different masks that God plays throughout history, or that the Son isn't actually divine, but instead he received his divinity in his baptism, or that the Son ultimately isn't the uniquely begotten of the Father, and so on, and so on, and so on. The Athanasian Creed, then, asserts what we can say about our triune God, the nature of Christ, and what he himself reveals to us in Scripture. By faith, not by reason, we believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are not three gods, but one God, and three distinct persons. They're all equal, eternal, uncreated, infinite, etc. So how then can we talk about the Trinity? Well, of course, we can talk about the Trinity only in the way that the Scripture speaks of him. God reveals his divine nature as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through his working for our salvation. This doctrine, of course, drips from the pages of Scripture, although it is more obvious in some places than others. We have one of those obvious places in our readings for today. The Spirit has been poured out on Pentecost and filled the disciples with power. And in that power of the Spirit, Peter steps forward to declare the glories of God the Father in the person and work of the Son, Jesus Christ. Yet even from the very beginning, the foundation of the world, God has existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And from the beginning, they have worked for our salvation, for our adoption as the children of God. In our Old Testament reading, we are given a glimpse into the act of creation. Most of us are familiar with the account in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Out of nothing, God brought all things into existence. What is beautiful about this text from Proverbs, however, is that we are offered a glimpse of something more. We are given a glimpse of God before his work of creation. And what we see is delight, God's delight. Before the world began, God was rejoicing. The story of our salvation begins with this delight of God. And what was God delighting in? Well, the text answers for us. The Lord was delighting in wisdom, and wisdom was delighting in the people God made to inhabit the world. The Apostle Paul sheds a little light on this for us. In Colossians, Paul testifies to Jesus by saying, "By him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. Before creation, Jesus, as the Son, the second person of the Trinity, was with God the Father. All things were created by and through Him. Jesus is this figure of wisdom in Proverbs, or the divine Word, as John puts it in his Gospel. The master workman who is with the Father before the world began. The Father delighted in Jesus, and Jesus rejoices in the Father. The world itself was created out of and with exuberance and joy. The Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Father, Son, and Spirit worked together to bring all things into being. After the world was created, God called this good, and He delighted in His creation. And this delight then spreads from God to His creation. Jesus is seen rejoicing in the inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Before the world began, Jesus was filled with delight for all people. And even after the fall into sin, Jesus held to His original delight. It was out of this joy that Jesus came to save these people and restore all of His creation, which had been cursed because of human sin. If one were to go back to the foundation of the world, they would see this joy and delight of God. God the Father delighting in His Son, and the Son delighting in His people, and this is where the story of salvation begins. For God delights in His work of salvation. Sometimes people approach the triune God as a momentary fix for a problem in life. They turn to God only when something is wrong. A divorce, a death, a disaster. And God is the temporary healer, the momentary fix for the problems of life. God unfortunately becomes very small in our own eyes. In sin, we reduce God, believing that we have a grasp on Him. We make Him fit for our needs. However, Scripture gives us a very different portrayal of God. Forgiveness is not simply a momentary fix for our lives. It is part of a much larger story. It is part of God's delight before the world began, as the Father delighted in Jesus, who was His master workman. Jesus formed us as His creatures and found delight in us. After we fell into sin, God the Father continued to delight in His Son. Why? Because Jesus chose to come. He chose to come and die for your sin and to rise for your salvation. By His death and resurrection, Jesus begins to create in you His own image by the power of His Spirit and promises to bring you from this world of sin and despair into His new creation, where you will sing the everlasting song of praise in God's delight. The coming of the Holy Spirit then on Pentecost was the fulfillment and seal of this promise of Christ, because God has indeed risen Jesus from the dead. We know that His sacrifice was pleasing to the Father and covered over all our sin. So we delight in the life and salvation that we have in Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, and the Father delights in this. For the true joy and delight that the Father had in Jesus as His master workman continued when Jesus chose to come and die for you and for me and rise again for our salvation. That delight of the Father and of the Son now dwells within our own very hearts by the power of the Spirit, enabling us to trust and believe that even now Jesus is near, and He continues to work for our salvation until that day it has been made complete. What the Athanasian Creed reveals about the doctrine of the Trinity isn't so that we may conquer God with our intellect and grasp Him by our reason, but so that we may be swept up in the delight and joy of His salvation, which began before the world was even made. For from the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has planned and purposed your salvation. Our story begins and ends with God's delight, and we in response will ever delight in our triune God because He first delighted in us. Thanks be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for all that they have ever done for us and will continue to do until they bring it to completion in that great and glorious day of our Lord. Amen. And may you be kept in the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.